from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Hello there, Chatterbox listener. My name's Alon.
Hey, Jimmy Boy, and this be Ara.
That's Ara, and we do this here little show called the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. You can learn more about it at chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com or chatterboxer.com or, you know, any of those names. And if you want your own domain name, go to chatterboxhosting.com. We should advertise that stuff more. It's the only way we make revenue, and there's, like, none of it, so.
Yeah, especially for St. Patty's Day, Jimmy.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about it. We've been here for like half an hour together. We didn't even mention St. Patrick's Day.
Now we are.
All right, well, it's St. Patrick's Day for those listening live. If you are listening live and you want to chat with us, go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, and enter the live chat, because you can do that. Now, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. First off, I want to cover something that's sort of a continuation, a new episode regarding my venting about GameStop and Amazon, and apparently some more people are trying to analyze this, and unfortunately they don't do it nearly as well as I do, because a lot of people are dumb, and as you all know, I'm not. So,
well, you know, Blockbuster's stock did come back from 20 cents all the way up to 80 cents. So.
Well, that's a huge increase.
Somebody somewhere made four times on their money.
400% is fantastic. So I'll talk about that and why Mike Fahey of Kotaku is apparently kind of stupid. I don't know. Or just playing dumb. Like, who knows? I don't know the guy.
I'm kind of curious. I haven't really read this article, so you'll get a fresh perspective from me.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about Jack Thompson and his Utah Bill.
The return of Jack Thompson.
Yeah, this is old news, really, but we're bringing it up for the first time on our show, right?
I mean, it's new news.
Is it? Because I've been reading about this for weeks.
Right now.
Is it just this new article happened right now?
I don't know. Right this second. It's more exciting that
It's
way.
Been discussed online for a while.
Look. All the news media gets stuff wrong all the time, so I'm just going to pretend like I'm right about everything. And
all right. And our listeners should know, like, we don't find any of this news naturally. Like, we just look at the blogs that you could look at and then cover it. So if those blogs get it wrong, wow, are we going to get it wrong? Like, it's a long game of telephone. So
yeah, but we're much more interesting than they are.
Yeah, like, we might go to an event and discuss an event or something, and that's firsthand. Like, when I do the Street Fighter 4 party or go to GDC or something, which is happening soon. Next week, by the way, GDC. No show next week.
That's right. We're going to be both at GDC.
Yeah. In fact, next week you'll be hearing me saying that there's going to be no show next week because you'll be hearing a repeat of this show next week. Wrap your head around that.
That's very recursive of you.
Yeah. So when you hear my voice next week saying that there's no show next week, that's actually wrong. There will be a show next week if you're listening to this next week.
And if you didn't listen to this and you only listen next week, then you're screwed too bad.
Understood? All right. So to be clear, that's the last week of March. No show. April, we will. All right. So let me tell you about Kotaku's little article. Let's see when this was published. It was sometime recently. Look at that. Today, this morning even. The headline is, Analyst says GameStop has nothing to fear from Amazon. And this is basically taken from a Gamasutra article called Analysis. Amazon, no threat to GameStop. So
okay,
very similar headlines.
So it's not an analyst. It's just somebody, or maybe the analyst really is just in the more colloquial sense of somebody analyzed something.
I'm just saying the original headline, analysis, Amazon, no threat to GameStop. New headline, analyst, GameStop has nothing to fear from Amazon. So maybe they're saying Mike Fahey, the author, is the analyst. I don't know. They're probably referring to this guy who like runs surveys and stuff, which is what Gamasutra talked about. So to get to the meat of my complaint here. Last week, I gave my opinion that although Dan DiMatteo, CEO of GameStop, is pretending like it's no big deal that Amazon is entering the used game space.
Right. You think it's a big deal.
It is a big deal for GameStop. It's not that big a deal for us. I mean, we have another place to trade in games. That's cool.
Right.
Right. But he made all these comments about how there's zero chance of them succeeding. Literally, according to what we read, use the word zero, as in no chance of them succeeding, which is clearly false and evidence that he's either lying or being facetious.
Or being an executive, which would be both.
That too, but usually executives are real careful about their language because their legal team says to be careful. So anyway, very much the same argument was made on Gamasutra and then in this Kotaku article, but it was a lot more sensible on Gamasutra because they did say that at least Amazon could succeed simultaneously with GameStop succeeding. Now, what Fahey of Kotaku wrote, this is hard, I didn't highlight this stuff. All right, so he talks about Gamasutra, and he quotes, "In scenarios where a customer either owns the GameStop Edge card or trades in a bunch of titles at once, GameStop provides a considerably higher value." Because they're like, if you trade in three games or so many games, you get extra percentage. And right. Then when you buy a used game, you get 10% off because of the Edge card and whatever. And that's true. That's great. But they people seem to neglect the fact that Amazon could offer the same thing.
Potentially.
Right. Same or similar, analogous. It doesn't matter. There's certainly nothing limiting their ability to have promotions because they do that all the time. Anyone yep. familiar with their gold box is familiar with their promotions.
But GameStop is more immediate.
All right. So Fahey then says, "During last Friday's midnight launch of Resident Evil 5 at my local GameStop, I actually chatted with several customers about whether or not they would consider trading in their games through the online retailer," referring to Amazon, "and the result was an almost unanimous no, complete with a chuckle and an eye roll from the store manager." Now,
well, of course the store manager is going to chuckle and eye roll. Well, I mean,
we'll dismiss that. The point is, if you go to a store where people are buying games in a store
right.
and ask them if they're going to buy games elsewhere, they're going to say no. Not because they're lying or they're trying to make you feel good,
it's
but because
well, go ahead.
Clearly, they prefer to buy their games in a store.
Right.
If you asked GameStop when Amazon first came around, whenever it was, 10 years or so ago, they said, "Hey, this company is going to start selling video games online. Do you think they might take some of your business?" If DiMatteo's as idiotic as he is now, he probably would have said no. But clearly he would have been wrong, given that Amazon sells a lot of video games. There's just no way to slice it. They sell games, and those games, if not sold from Amazon, would be sold from somewhere else, unless we're talking about someone who only has access to Amazon.com. And therefore, some of their business was taken by Amazon. Now, maybe they won't lose a lot of used game traffic because of Amazon, but Amazon will definitely succeed. And that was really my argument, that Amazon won't fail like GameStop said they would. They will be able to succeed. And I am confident that they will. Now, whether or not they'll take some of the market share of GameStop, I also think that's true, just because over time, there's been a consistent trend, a gain in online retail sales.
Yeah, I think they'd have to. I mean, like maybe some of their new customers are literally just new customers into that particular market. But I think that most people who are engaging in that kind of activity who are going to are kind of already.
Yeah, I never said that Amazon would take GameStop out of business. There's about no chance of that happening.
Well, yeah, that's have to be pretty extreme to get to that, you know, that page.
Yeah, I'm not going to say there's really no chance. There's about no chance of that happening. But certainly there's been an increase in online sales year after year after year after year since the internet came to be. And, since consumerism on the internet came to be. And that will continue. And now that you've got people using Amazon, comfortable with Amazon, comfortable selling games to GameStop, they will then be comfortable with the idea of selling games to Amazon. In addition, when they buy a game from Amazon and they get something in that box that says, "Put your game in here when you're done with it," or "Put your other games in here now that you're done with them and send them back to us," that will certainly happen. And the whole convenience and... All right, here's another paragraph at the end. It says, "People want instant gratification. On the rare occasion that they've traded in a game, it's generally because I don't have..." Well, that's interesting wording. "On the rare occasions that I've traded in a game, it's generally because I don't have the money right at that moment to pick something up something I really want." So we've now learned that Kotaku doesn't pay much. "In those situations, I'm not going to be inclined to ship my game away and wait for them to be processed, even if the value is substantially higher," which apparently it isn't. So this person buys his games at GameStop. Mike Fahey likes to do that. Great. So he's not the target demo of Amazon. Well, he might be the target demo, but he's not successfully been moved over to Amazon as a user, right? But he certainly could be. And for those people who already have, this sentence about "in those situations I'm not going to be inclined to ship my game away" is irrelevant. The users who are used to Amazon will be. So I'm kind of repeating myself at this point. I'll quiet it down. We can move on to something else.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I think that it's just going to come down to whether Amazon actually is giving the customer enough of an incentive to use their service.
Yeah, and that's
what's
going
to come down to me.
Well, it's
like,
a measure
if they don't do that, then maybe not so successful.
Part of the argument here is that it's a measure of convenience, right? And
well,
instant gratification.
Sure.
And guess what? Some people think using the mail is a lot more convenient than having to go to the store. In fact, there are a lot of people who don't have a GameStop near them. So using their mailbox that's 10 feet away is a hell of a lot more convenient.
That is a pretty decent argument,
I'd
say.
And not everybody lives in New York. So, or in some busy urban environment, is my point. Moreover, people use the word analyst to describe blog writers who don't know a damn thing about business. So, that's my real complaint.
I'm an analyst. I analyze things.
We'll be back after the break.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Now, I think we've said pretty much all we wanted to say about GameStop.
I don't need to devote two segments to it. I might devote one next week if there's more crappy news about it. But I just need to get out the point that some people do not know what they're talking about. And I, for the record, don't know what I'm talking about often. But in this case, at least I'm being rational.
And that doesn't stop us from accusing other people of not knowing what they're talking
about. Oh, certainly not. No. Then we wouldn't be Chatterbox.
And maybe even if you think that we don't know what we're talking about, you can call us at 866-536-1100.
You can do that.
And it'll be fun. It'll be good times.
And if you want to love us, you can go to uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advanced Technology and the home of our wonderful sponsor. So head on down to uat.edu and learn about the programs they can offer you.
Very nicely done, sir.
Oh, you're so welcome.
All right, so let's talk about the return of Jack Thompson.
The return of Jack Thompson.
You thought he was gone. Because he got disbarred.
Disbarment, baby!
That apparently in the law world means nothing because he's back, and he's back in the form of a bill.
Here's what you don't know. Anybody can propose a bill.
I could propose a bill.
Yeah, well, I think probably some politician who sits in the House or the Senate or something needs to do the proposing, but anyone can write it to their senator or whoever the hell does it. And then they can propose it, right?
Yes.
But like,
so
they don't have to author it themselves.
Anyway, it's Jack Thompson is not in Utah, but his bill is in Utah. And so this is about, I don't know, what is this about? This is about basically penalties that can be now levied to retailers if they, you know, sell.
I don't get it.
Sell mature games to kids, right?
The wording that I read, which was not the original bill, of course, it was from some blog that talked about it, sure makes it sound like this isn't threatening at all. It makes it sound that there's no if you don't impose rules on yourself as a retailer, then the government can't impose penalties on you. It seems very strange.
It's bizarre. This is like welcome to the world of the weird chicanery and machinations of the government where nothing makes sense. And so to illustrate an example of how part of this bill doesn't make sense, apparently there's a line in this bill that says that if the person, the customer who's buying it, right, misrepresents their age, then the retailer cannot get in trouble for selling, let's say, little Mickey or Johnny a copy of, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto 4 or whatever, right?
Or Resident Evil 5.
So now let's imagine what this might look like if the bill was passed. And little Jimmy went to big box store X to buy, super private parts, mature game 12.
Yep.
So, hello there, young Jimmy. I see you're buying a game here today.
Hi there. My friends call me big sixth grader Jimmy.
Wow, sixth grader. You must be reading and writing then, and maybe you can even play this game. Oh, what is this, Grand Theft Auto 4 that you're buying here?
I want this and one of those cool lollipops too.
Now this game has a mature rating on it. Are you over 18?
Over 18 years old?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking? I'm actually 25 and a half.
Well, I'm glad you told me that because if you weren't 25 and a half, I wouldn't be able to sell you this game. I could get in some really deep trouble, but that takes a load off my shoulders. Here, take this game. Little 25-year-old Jimmy, and enjoy, and I will enjoy your profits, and none of us will get in trouble.
Hey, you little bitch. I said 25 and a half, and I want my damn lollipop.
All right, so there you go. Apparently, here's another piece of legislation that in practice will do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I found it interesting. But, I mean, a lot of kids won't lie about their age just because they're dumb.
Well, I guess they won't, but it's funny how it's framed that way, right? It's like, now we can kind of, like, understand, I think, why it was worded that way, because it's like, okay, well, you know, if the store sells a mature product to a person who's underage and they truly, truly didn't know, right, then it's really not fair to penalize them.
Well, the law in America works in some interesting ways.
I guess, right?
Because can't a bar be penalized for not recognizing fake ID?
That's true.
I don't actually know if that's true, but
I'm just trying to basically like speculate on what the impetus for this exact wording was. Like, why is it worded that way? Why don't they just say, oh, if you're under this age, and you know. The store sells you the game, then it's their responsibility for them to ascertain what age you are.
Well, it's all a question of politics. It's because the truth is, these bills that become laws, they happen with pressure from all sorts of sides. So it's not that the laws exist to make things better. The laws exist because certain people have different agendas, and they get molded and manipulated because they might piss somebody off.
Right.
For instance, the retailers' associations know that they're going to get sued and screwed left and right.
Right. They don't want to get dumped on, so they want a provision to kind of cover
that. Yeah. Well, they're going to have underage kids who aren't allowed to even play these games or buy them at their own store, selling them to other people. So how can you trust this 17-year-old to know how to read an ID and to decide whether a kid who's 13, right, who doesn't have an ID,
right,
can buy the teen-rated game that's 13 and up,
right,
or not. And so you just have to say, all right, well, you can't get in trouble. In which case, you're right, the law will have no effect because it basically has an out so that retailers won't get in trouble.
Right, that's right. And the funny thing is that, like, really, no matter how you try to legislate it, right, especially with things involving, whatever being restricted to people, to a certain group of people, if people really want something, they will find one way of getting it, even if they're kids.
Yeah, and that's...
They will find some avenues that, you really can't address one way or the other. You can't really for sure know that, you can't sell, whatever.
That's the big complaint. I think they want to get... This is me fighting the other side, right? They just want to get everyone in this train of thought that you shouldn't be letting kids buy these games that are rated M. And so every step in that direction, like this bill, will serve to some degree to get closer to that, utopian ideal. In that respect, it's a good thing, but it's really kind of a waste of everyone's, taxpayers' time and attention and money.
There's bigger fish to fry, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just, I kind of wish Jack Thompson would die.
Well, this whole thing about legislating things, it's almost like it's very reactionary. I mean, I can appreciate the intentions behind these sorts of things, but it's almost like, there's a guy who's, having these problems, and instead of like addressing what the problems are, people just want to, cover up the wounds or whatever. So that was a little analogy there.
All right.
So, we're not getting at the heart of what it is, which is, okay, some games are not for kids, okay, right? But you know what? Some kids are going to play those games.
Well, the issue is that, like...
And it's a cultural thing.
What are other examples of this? Like, buying books, right? So I can go to a bookstore, and there are plenty of books that are not appropriate for kids.
Right.
I can go to bookstores, and I can find all stuff that talks about porn, and not actual porn, just, like, books that discuss the porn industry.
Right.
Or things that do have actual porn in them, or things that are ultra-violent, or stuff that covers certain topics that Christian parents won't want their kids reading, things about growing up gay or something like that, right?
Sure, sure.
For some reason, it hasn't hit the book battlefield, but video games are viewed so much as toys.
Right. Well, it did, I think, but I think that books as an industry are just not in the limelight. Games aren't in the industry. But here's the funny thing, right? Just like we talked about before.
I really think it has something to do with the perception of games as toys.
We still have that stigma. So I think that there's definitely a component of that.
Well, because the expectation is if you're in a video game store, then you're in a store that's intended for children. Whereas a bookstore could let's assume that the bookstore isn't specifically an adult bookstore or a children's bookstore, right? But just a bookstore. It's the same as video games, right? It's a hobby that a lot of people of varying demographics enjoy, but
I guess because games initially appealed to children more, and it's shifted over time.
Right.
That we those stores are seen as toy stores, and therefore seen as having children in them more.
Right. It's kind of interesting that this, I mean, this baggage that the game industry has about just being kind of like being thought of as for kids is just has so much momentum over the years. I mean, even in the past 5 or 6 years, right? We still can't. You'll see when we talk about the next segment that when we talk about that crazy Animal Crossing thing, that people still, especially ones that like aren't enthusiasts, just think that games are for kids.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and you're right. It'll definitely show.
And I'm surprised it has so much momentum. I mean, I don't think that we'll be out of this stigma for even 5, 10 more years.
No, it'll probably stick around forever, which is weird, right? I mean, I want to say until the people who are into video games enter into politics and all these things. But really, I think it'll take us hitting old age and then dying. So, no, seriously. It'll not because of our death, but because all ages of people who are on Earth will have been part of the video game generation.
Right.
Whereas right now, there's still a portion of the population that has been removed from it completely, right? Like anyone over, say, 40, unless they were really, really hip old people,
right?
Were not touching video games, right? So I'll make the assumption that your 20s are about the first time you were playing.
Their only exposure to it, right, the older generation, is,
games
is Pong. Pong is for kids. Games are for kids.
Which is weird because tennis is played by adults just as much as, well, even more so than kids. Right.
Well, you know about like Pac-Man and so on.
Yeah, right? Sure. But like I claim that until the entire population has grown up with games, have had video games available to them, that this stigma will exist forever. But that also means that, you know, 50 years from now, and actually less, that could be gone. And still, people think it's, you know, some people will. But overall, I think we're going to have this larger acceptance, just like movies and books are now considered a media or an entertainment for anybody, regardless of age.
You heard it here first.
I hope.
How many generations left?
Two.
Two more generations. All right, we'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Back once again, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We promised that we would talk a little bit about Animal Crossing.
That's right.
And how, really, the world is out of touch.
Or not just the world, but really just pretty much all news media.
Well, it's known that news media will sensationalize things.
Or at least ABC 17 News Missouri.
We have no problem sensationalizing things ourselves, because it's funny.
That's right. And we do it with a modicum of skill.
Now, however, we understand that no matter what we do, we will not get high ratings, and we will never make a lot of money.
And also, we don't purport to portray things fairly, reasonably, or, you know, any more.
Or even realistically.
Things. That's right.
Well, I kind of do sometimes. But
I have no such illusions over here.
All right. It seems that some people in the media somewhere, like Missouri, decided that Animal Crossing was not necessarily a good place for the kids.
A veritable breeding ground for sexual predators, in fact.
Yes. I mean, that's certainly why I play. So tell me a little bit about it.
Well, there's this news channel up in Missouri, ABC 17 News. And so they did a story, they did a report on apparently how sexual predators are being predatory, right? Because that's what they do. That's their job.
Yes.
Towards children on... What game? Animal Crossing? A game that's not networked at all?
But hang on. It is networked, and the first game to use the microphone on the Wii.
Right.
So that you can talk to other people over the network.
Oh, you can do this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, so let's be clear on how the game works.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Okay, but and now...
Snafu.
And now, how do you actually get on the network with somebody in that game.
You have to give them a very long friend code. I don't know if it's 12 or 16 digits.
Right.
Right? But you have to know my friend code, and I have to know your friend code in order for us to interact online. But then we can meet and actually talk.
Right. But then
with the microphone.
But the talking thing, like, that's just like the local, like, you know, ad hoc network, right? That's not
No,
like,
no, that's internets.
Okay. Maybe I should just stop asking questions.
No, it's cool, man. We got to be clear. But so let's be clear. You can meet other people. And in fact, this article
that you're reading. So I thought it was like old school Animal Crossing, so I stand corrected on that
one. So you can network with people, but it's a little bit silly. And it's not just that this news outlet is making it up. I think it's apparently the Mid-Missouri Internet Crimes Task Force is warning parents that Animal Crossing could be a haven for sexual predators. I'm reading from a Kotaku post here.
Right.
And ABC 17 News jumped on this train. And so, to be clear, I have Animal Crossing, you have Animal Crossing. We swap ridiculously long codes, meaning we don't give each other special names or handles.
Right.
You have to specifically know my code.
So how did I get your code, Mr. Sexual Predator?
Well, I gave it to you because I know you because you're my friend.
Or maybe we met in the playground and you gave me some pops and some candy.
Some pop? The cereal?
You know, whatever. Cereal, lollipop, soda, depending on what part of the country you're from. You
gotcha.
Know.
Okay, I was confused for a second.
You know,
I was thinking corn pops.
You know, just soliciting.
They're not very good.
Because that's the sexual predators they hand out. They hang out over there. In those,
and what would you do with corn pops? So, there's this concern. Like, here's the thing. So, it's the first game on the Wii where you can chat with people online. I believe. I might be corrected on that, but I'm pretty sure. Like, it came boxed with the microphone because it was a new peripheral. So, you can meet up with people, and theoretically, I could be gaming with people. I haven't used this function in the game,
right,
so it's so
right.
hard for me to speak intelligently about it.
It's novel to us, even.
I could give my code online in a forum. I could give it
out. Theoretically, you could, right? But this is...
Let's say we start a code trading thread on our forum,
right?
Which has been done in lots of places.
You could go into a sexual predator chat room, and maybe a sexual predator there can say, "Hi, I'm today's sexual predator. Here's my code." So we can, because meeting online, there's too much heat on us here. We got to go to Animal Crossing and do it.
Yeah.
Because that's where the good stuff is.
So they're reporting about how your kids, you know, this could be a haven, right? And Kotaku goes a step further and says that the mayor of Animal Crossing,
right.
Mortimer or whatever, is a sexual predator.
In their sensationalistic little
thing. Yeah, well, that's just them being funny, right? Mayor Tortimer, I guess. So, technically, you could meet with someone who could be a predator. But the thing is, I'm pretty sure you both have to have each other's codes.
Right.
Which means you have to be, like, in a forum. Now, the sexual predator guy could be pretending on the forum, and then you get the codes and you meet. So, it's feasible. It's definitely possible. But very unlikely.
It's a whole step removed, right? Because in order to get to the point where you're communicating with someone in Animal Crossing whom you don't know...
You would have had to have already communicated.
With them, right, in a place that's more haven-like...
Yeah, definitely.
...by definition than Animal Crossing.
Exactly. And so, and in addition, like, the Game Boy Advance, which Wii owners are just as likely to have, in fact, more likely if you check the numbers, and I haven't checked the numbers, but I'm pretty sure they sold more DSs, you can chat over those games, and you've been able to for a while. So why bring this up now? Well, because they want to, because the Wii is a popular thing that the parents buy and that the parents actually play with their children sometimes.
Right.
So they might have more interest in it.
Because the news reporters noticed this and they don't know anything about how that stuff works in general. And so this is the first time they saw it and they got all excited and that's why it's getting all this attention.
But here's one line that's especially interesting. Apparently...
I love this line. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Who says this? Andy Anderson, love that name. Andy Anderson of the Mid-Missouri Internet Crimes Task Force. Should Missouri even have an internet crimes task? Do they know how to use the internet?
Well,
in Missouri,
apparently they have several divisions throughout the state.
I guess I'm assuming that we don't have any listeners in Missouri. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to hear our show. So he says, "I cannot come up with any legitimate reason that an adult would be playing that particular game." And of course, he's referencing Animal Crossing.
Right. So. Okay,
on the Wii.
This goes back to the whole stigma we were talking about last segment, right? Still, like, Andy Anderson, I will bet that he's probably 40 or older. But still, right? It's like, okay,
he must know how to use the internet if he's the crimes task force.
Probably there are more middle-aged women playing Animal Crossing than sexual predators, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a stab out there in the dark.
I think so. I, in fact, live with a woman, 30 years old. 30! Hard to claim she's a youngin', and loves the Animal Crossing. I work with someone who loves Animal
Crossing.
Well,
these people, I tell you, have no business, legitimate business, playing that game.
You're absolutely right.
They must undeniably be sexual predators.
And I've learned firsthand she is definitely a sexual predator. So.
Well, that's a good time.
I guess the proof's in the pudding there. So it's unfortunate to have these realizations about the people I live with that they're sexual predators. But Andy Anderson has made me. He's shown me the light.
Yeah. So
I appreciate. Thank you, Andy, for letting me know.
So let me rant about this.
And I will clench my sphincter with the might of 10 men.
For a couple moments. Yes, I'm doing that too. So the reason why stuff like this really incenses me is because every time I hear the regular media reporting on something in the video game news, which I know something about, they always get something wrong in some kind of like strangely construed way that shows that they don't really understand exactly what they're talking about. You know? And this goes anywhere from, you know, that famous, you know, Lieutenant Dave Grossman guy who shows up in the media all the time and tells everybody that, oh, video games are murder simulators, to this 2020 episode I heard a long time ago. This was like back in the Nintendo days, right?
Where, 8-bit.
8-bit days, okay? Where, and this has stuck out in my mind this entire time, where basically two kids were playing, right? And they made this huge deal about basically the little brother told the little sister that she couldn't play until he died. Just think about that, right? Somebody who doesn't know about the context of video games, like, wow, like what a horrible thing to say. Oh, these evil games.
Play over my dead body.
Right. When, like, okay, come on. Like, we all know who play video games. Like, he just meant, like, okay, when my character dies in the game, then I'll let you play.
Was there really something in 2020 complaining about that?
Yeah, somewhere, something.
What, just the terminology? That he's introducing the concept of death to his little sister? Or that they really thought he told the little sister that she couldn't play until he was
just
dead?
No, you're asking too many questions. This is a 15-year-old memory here, dude.
Yeah, but this is coming from the same person who didn't know that you could link up Animal Crossing, yet was reading an article that discussed how you could.
Yeah, but I'm just going to assert that I'm right, and we're not going to ask questions, see?
Okay. All right, well.
This is how you do good radio, my friends.
All right.
Except without the questions part. This is how Rush Limbaugh does it, I've been told.
Okay.
All right.
So, any more sexual predator articles?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right.
So we do have a couple minutes.
We have a couple minutes before break. There's a couple other little things that we could talk about.
Okay. Well, we want to talk about Capcom and how people perceive downloadable content, but I think let's save that for the end.
Gaming injuries. What comes first? The gaming
injuries.
Yeah,
let's do game injuries because it's going to take shorter time. So
you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Let's talk about game injuries. If you've had a game injury, right, while playing a video game.
Can you define game injury for me?
You can call us at 866-536-1100. Now, what I mean by a game injury is some kind of injury literally just caused by playing a game.
We've all had Nintendo thumb.
It's funny because I have this kind of repeated injury that only comes up when I play racing games. And when I play racing games, not all of them, just certain ones, like, mostly the simulators, because the cars don't go fast enough for my brain, I guess. But I find myself inexorably pushing down on the accelerator with my thumb much, much harder than I have to. And I do this for, I mean...
It just proves you're getting a little stressed out.
Well, I mean, I get into it, right? But it's just really funny, because no matter how much I try to concentrate on actually not pushing the button too hard, invariably after several laps, I have this death grip on the controller, right? And then if you look at my thumb, and it's okay now, if you look at my thumb and my hand in general, that whole part, you know, I mean, like sometimes it'll just be just obviously sore and red from the hours of racing.
Yeah, and you might not be able to tell from the picture on our website, but Ara has very strong arms, like a gorilla.
Well, you know.
Big man. All right, so we're going to discuss video game injuries.
Yeah, give us a call if you've had something like that. We'd like to hear from you. I'm kind of curious if you've experienced anything like that before.
Flipped on your head playing Dance Dance Revolution.
Right, or maybe even something less dramatic.
Nintendo Thumb. Synchronized swimming video game.
Idiopathic Ecrine Hydrantitis. Something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe. We'll be back.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and you're with us at our final segment before we get completely blitzed imbibing green alcohol.
Are you coming out with me after the show?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I'm going out with someone after the show.
I'm supposed to call and find out where the peeps are.
Yeah?
Those are my direct orders. Find the peeps.
Well, I want to find out where the peeps are.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we said we were going to talk about video game injuries, which I would point out you probably wouldn't get if you went to the University of Advanced Technology, because they have desks and comfortable chairs.
This is true, and probably ergonomic.
Yes, and unfortunately, they don't have like a DDR machine.
But they're not just
in the
rooms
lounge area.
They teach you something there.
They do. They teach you about video game development, and you can go to uat.edu to learn more about the University of Advanced Technology. So
you've never had an injury.
I have.
Your silence on this topic.
Well, the thing is, I don't tend to remember things that aren't important.
Right.
And injuries just, they're not a big part of my life. Really, like.
Well, lucky you.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, I've hurt myself with. Okay, now, here's a big one. So I don't know if I've told, I'm pretty sure I've told this story on the air before, because I've told it a lot. I came home from Thanksgiving break when I was in college. I was going to school in Indiana. This was right around the new millennia. Who remembers when? I don't know. Like 2000, 2001, 1999. I don't know. So DDR machines were hard to find, and the only one anywhere near me in Indiana was in Indianapolis. Now, I lived in Bloomington, which is an hour away. That's where I went to school.
That's where I was born.
You're lying to me.
Dude, I have my birth certificate right here.
You were
here.
Born in Bloomington, Indiana?
Yeah, we've been over this. Come on.
Have we?
Yes. Okay, let's continue. We don't have a
okay.
lot of time.
Okay. All right. So getting there is a pain in the butt because I didn't have a car in college. So the airport, of course, is in Indianapolis. So I went right from the airport with my luggage and everything to the arcade where I knew people and we could just play forever all day. So I got there at like noon and played for 8 hours that Saturday or something, DDR, to the point that I ripped some sort of muscle in the bottom of each foot. Because when I woke up at 5:30 in the morning the next morning, I wasn't sure why I woke up and slowly realized that I had this amazing pain in my feet to the point that I couldn't walk and I was pushing
Eight
myself.
Hours of DDR?
Yeah, well, obviously it wasn't consecutive play. It was basically consecutive play. But you carry your birth certificate around?
I've had to have shown you that before.
No.
No, this is because I use this to call people out when they don't believe me.
All right. Well, I'll put that over here.
Yeah, no. You give that back.
That's fine. Anyway, so I must have ripped the muscles in the bottom of my feet, but it just happened all of a sudden that I woke up with this horrible pain. It was like having a Charlie horse my whole life.
Yeah. So,
or having a Charlie horse on the foot all day is what I meant. Not my whole life. Very, very painful. But the next day I was virtually fine. Like I could walk and everything.
Right.
So, but I had asked my roommate to like get me crutches or something, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to go to class.
Well, that sounds more serious than my endeavors with my thumb.
That was definitely my most serious video game injury.
So if, I don't know. I'm kind of curious what other people have experienced, but you know, send us an email, go to our website, right?
You know, there's the Wii game that's like Nerf related, whatever, and it comes with a Nerf blaster.
Right, right.
With the Wii game. Like,
right.
Perhaps there's an injury related to that.
Well,
or just Wii in general, people tossing remotes to themselves.
Well, right, but that's the easy one, right? I mean, like, you know, everyone knows about that.
Sure.
Everyone's putting eyes out left and right with Wii remotes.
I've certainly probably had injuries building controllers for video games.
Yeah. All right, so yeah. I think that's probably enough of that one.
This whole segment is just asking me about my video game injury?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the whole...
I thought you had some article that discusses this.
Yeah, there's apparently enough people that are having problems with their skin from playing video games.
Is this the PlayStation controller one?
Yeah, where, you know, there's a condition called idiopathic ecrine hydrantitis, right?
Sure.
And it usually affects, you know, like joggers' feet or like whoever.
Just got it last week.
Yeah, I mean, just like whatever like kind of thing you do, or you're just like pounding your appendage against something all the time.
It happens to me really every day.
You know, yes, it's very frequent for many of us. But apparently it's happening in the context of gaming so much that somehow now it's garnered its own name. It's called PlayStation Polymer Hydratantitis. So that's fantastic. That's great.
What was that called again?
PlayStation Polymer Hydratantitis.
So if this came up like 10 years ago, it would have been called Nintendo-itis?
Probably.
It's really
Palmer.
And I wonder if Sony would get upset that they're using their trademark in that way.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Right. Yeah. It's also hurting them. Like, oh, you only get it if you play PlayStation.
That's right. Well,
the Dreamcast or the Xbox.
Maybe
the
they should have designed controllers
better.
With spikes on them.
Yeah. That's their fault. All right. So we got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about Capcom.
Yeah. Let's do this Capcom thing. All right.
Their transparency in marketing and in PR, I just not so much marketing. Their transparency and PR, just I love.
So. And by transparency, I venture to guess that you mean
it's an adult term.
Their ability for their VP to just show up on the message board, all the fans are on, and say, and one guy is, oh, I don't want to pay $5 for your downloadable content. You're screwing us. And this VP comes on and he says, I'm going to call you out. I'm calling BS on this. And he's...
Yeah, dude, it was awesome.
And, you know, the VP actually typed the letter B and the letter S next to each other in caps.
And quotes.
And so this is kind of a funny thing because a lot of people are complaining. And really, I mean, I don't know. You can argue whether Capcom did something fair or not. I mean, it doesn't really seem like it's unfair. But a lot of people are complaining about it. And so it got me thinking, there's certain types of downloadable content that we can, you know, we'll call like the vocal fan masses deem as okay and cool and fair. And there's other types of content that it's apparently the vocal fans seem to kind of collectively poo-poo, to be polite about it.
Okay.
Right. And so the question that entered my mind was, well, you know, maybe we can kind of figure out, you know, what are these different qualities to the actual downloadable content that makes people think, or fans more specifically, who are actually informed about the way things work, whether they're fair or not. Because this all comes from, you know, the thing where like, okay, well, you know, if company A makes a game and they can just say, okay, we're going to, you know, to make an extreme example, we'll just cut off half of it and give you the first half, and then downloadable content will be the second half. Clearly, that's unfair, right?
Well, I mean, an analogy would be we're going to make two games at once and not put them on the same disc.
What?
Right. Like, you could make a game and its sequel, and before the... You know, have the sequel done before you release the first one. This, of course, never happened.
Well, except
with maybe Back to the Future 1 and 2 on the Nintendo. right, but you could. It's all a question of presentation, right? If these people presented the downloadable content as an extra disc and just released it separately, then they would be fine with it. I mean, people released Pokemon games, two identical games, virtually identical games, slightly different. And I didn't hear anybody going on forums whining about it.
This is true. I think that we can figure out why this happens. I think that there are actual reasons. I don't think it's just random.
I think the reason is that you will find someone to complain about something, regardless of what that
is. No. I'm not really even talking about whether there is one person complaining, but just like the size of the outcry in general. But
I'm with you, because I'm the number one complainer about downloadable content.
Right. Well, let me just vocalize why I think that a lot of people are complaining about this particular situation. I think there's a couple things happening at the same time. The first one is that the downloadable content in this case for Resident Evil 5 is a multiplayer game, right?
Yeah, so the game takes it from single player, it adds multiplayer functionality.
Right. So the game is not, has been always the whole time pretty much been a one player game. And I think that because they're, I don't know. I think that the fact that it's actually a distinct mode of play makes it seem a little less fair than if it was, oh, here's five more stages to the story mode, or here's a continuation of the story mode. I think because it's somehow a disjoint mode of play, I think people feel like they should have gotten, the people who are complaining at least, should have gotten part of it. I think another part of why people are complaining is because, so you have to actually purchase this separately in order to play with people online, which means that the amount of people who will play against each other online is actually very, very small because by making this exclusively downloadable content, you've raised the barrier that people have to cross in order to actually get into that game. So there's going to be necessarily less people online playing multiplayer, which is, you know, it just makes it less attractive for everybody to buy it then.
Yeah, but the guy also makes a good point about how it's considered a different product, right? So it's not like a different disc, right? But they've devoted developers, time, money, advertising, all
right.
That
well, they say
this separate product.
They say that, right? But I don't think any of that matters to the consumer. I think the other thing, too, is timing.
I
think that because this came out so close to the actual product, people, you know, they're just kind of shifty-eyed, like,
Why didn't it just come with it?
Wait a minute. Why? Yeah, exactly what you said.
Yeah, well, games have different budgets, and you could say that this game just should have had a larger budget to include that functionality. But he also makes the point where people were plenty happy with the game without it. So I see the business argument. What I loved was that he was willing to get on the forum and speak his mind. I mean, I'm sure it got approved by everyone in the company saying it's...
Or maybe no.
But it was good that they made the point. It's great. I haven't seen any other company out there. Like, Microsoft is the ultimate, like, play it safe in public.
Right. Well, I'd like to hear more executives call BS.
Capcom is at the top of my list for being awesome in terms of their PR because they're transparent and honest. And that's what I loved about this whole issue. It had nothing to do with the content. Anyway, we're at the end of our show. We will not be back next week, unless you're listening to this next week, in case we will be back next week.
But back in time.
In April. Bye.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.